Vachon, welcome. This is Dove Speaks. These are some new episodes that we're doing. My name is Chris Austin. I'm here with Nin Gray. She's an advocate for the Dove Project here on Vachon. And Nin, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, today we are going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about healthy and unhealthy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see where that leads us.
Where that goes, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm all about unhealthy eating, study habits, you name it. So I should be good at this. Mm-hmm. Now, I know it's been a long time since we've had an episode, a new episode of Dove, and there's probably some people out there that are maybe new to them what Dove is. And could you kind of give us an overview of?
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about that. It's nice to be back in the studio. I'm really glad we're doing this again, revamping the Dove Speaks.
Yes.
Especially now in these COVID times where everything is virtual and on the air and online, I think it's a great way to stay connected. So the Dove Project is Vashon Island's agency serving survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. And we have, in addition to direct service advocacy and resource building in the community for those areas, we also have a pretty healthy, robust prevention program. So we work in the middle school and the high school. We have a teen council program, a mm-hmm. youth advocate. And we also do some legal advocacy. We don't have an attorney on staff, but we have a wonderful advocate that helps when people need to do legal paperwork like protection orders or even divorce paperwork or parenting plans. So we do a lot of community outreach as well. We have a wellness program, a lot of offerings that are free to the community, like tapping classes and nonviolent communication and yoga for healing trauma throughout the year. So
let me interrupt you for a second. What's a tapping class?
Tapping class. Well, tapping is one word for it. The other word is emotional freedom technique. So I just learned about this myself, but it's a coping tool for stress and anxiety. And it's a way of accessing different points, marma points. You know, we've heard of acupuncture or acupressure points. There's like energy points on our body that if we just physically actually tap them with our fingers, it helps to relax our nervous system and it actually helps to reprogram negative and old beliefs.
Oh,
so that's sort of my summary. You know, I think it might be a really great theme some one of these days before we offer a new, another workshop, a tapping workshop, to have our Kale, our instructor, come on, and maybe we could have her as a guest.
That's a show.
Yeah, totally. Another show. Boom. Another idea. Let's write that one down. But she could explain it much more eloquently than I am explaining it now. But yeah, it's a wonderful tool. You know, we need all the tools in our tool belt.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's what the sense I get. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, not at all.
What you were saying, but the sense I get is Dove is kind of the Swiss Army knife of advocacy.
I love that. It's awesome.
That's kind of the perfect, you know, it's not a full-blown tool for some stuff, mm-hmm. you know, it's like a little mini screwdriver, but it's still a screwdriver.
True. Yeah.
It does what you need.
Yeah.
That's kind of way I think of Dove is, and you kind of have to be, don't you, here on the island, like you don't have a lot of ancillary or sister organizations to help you. I mean, it's just us, really.
Yeah, it's so true. And we don't, I mean, we're really not in the habit of trying to tell the community what they need. We really rather have the community tell us what they need and then respond to that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are people who are, they know they're in abusive relationships and they want to come have advocacy and resources or maybe need legal advocacy around that or maybe a referral for a therapist. Advocates are not mental health therapists, but we certainly have amazing therapists in the community that mm-hmm. we can refer people to when they need mental health counseling. So we definitely do that kind of work, that kind of advocacy. But a lot of people don't really realize that, you know, anyone's welcome to come if you're worried about a relationship, and it doesn't even need to be a romantic relationship. You know, we've had people come to us to help navigate relationship with a parent or an adult child, for example,
mm-hmm.
or maybe a just sort of a toxic kind of interaction with another housemate, for example, or a neighbor. So, you know, there's a lot of reasons why someone might come across our door.
What about a work relationship, like a boss?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or
because
a colleague?
Yeah, absolutely. Because we have, you know, we live and we relate with people. And so right now, especially during COVID, the pressure cooker's on, and you know, a lot of things that were under the surface are kind of coming up to the surface now, bubbling up.
Yeah.
And so it's really shining a spotlight on patterns of relating that haven't been working for some time. And now it's sort of like they're really not working.
Well, I really wanted to bring that up. I wanted to touch on that because, you know, for some relationships, going out with friends or going to a bar, that's the steam. That's where it gets released.
Yeah.
Then you go home and, you know, you tolerate the other person or whatever. But now you can't do that, at least not as much. And I'm curious how that is playing out in your services.
Sure.
Are they going up higher now?
Well, I mean, I'm curious about it too, because I think for some people, they don't have the space and privacy to even reach out to us, to be honest.
Oh, well, that's a very good point. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, recently I spoke with someone who had to go out and run an errand in town to be able to even call because their person is around and they would didn't have the privacy to be able to reach out. So yeah, it's definitely been an interesting time. Another, just to speak about Dove for a minute and the pattern of COVID, one thing as advocates we've started to observe is a lot of people from even off the island. So we serve people who are part of the Vashon community.
Mm-hmm.
And if people in the past, pre-COVID times, I say that phrase a lot, pre-COVID, I'm sure we all do, but yeah, people would call and then they would need a resource and we'd say, oh, in Seattle, or, oh, you're down in Olympia, here, call these folks. But right now everyone's so saturated and it can weeks before an advocate could talk to that person, even though they're physically in that area. But right now, everyone, it doesn't matter where people are physically, if that makes sense, because we're all just working remotely anyway. So yeah, we've been servicing a lot more people who are not even on the island. And instead of being able to easily or quickly give them resources in their area, that so much doesn't matter.
Right.
And we're just showing up in presence for what is needed.
My goodness.
Yeah.
How do people outside the island find out about Dove?
Great question. I think we're just on a list. And I say that seriously, because I feel like sometimes I'm like, why are you calling us?
Yeah.
But I think, you know, sometimes people just go down the list and they
call. I bet you're right. Well, I called the local one.
And now we'll just go down the list and call everybody in the surrounding area.
Like trying to get your oil change. You know, closest shop is busy. Yes.
That's so true. Yeah, that's so true. So yeah, so I mean, we've been just kind of showing up and trying to be in presence and holding space and providing a container for people to come to us, you know, for whatever it is that's in their hearts and on their minds with regard to relating, whether it's, as you say, a colleague, a coworker, a neighbor, a child, a parent, a lover, a partner, a husband, a wife, you know, any of all of that. And it can be tricky navigating these
absolutely.
Relationships.
And you know, what bothers me is, you know, I've been around Dove for a long time, and I know that part of their kind of long-term goals was to, prevention would increase because active cases are decreasing because prevention is increasing, you know, it's working. It's kind of like this circular logic. But now with COVID, prevention is, you know, in front of a middle school or in front of a class. And now you can't do that now. Mm-hmm. All these programs are kind of on hiatus.
Sure. And also trying to adapt. We have an incredible youth advocate. Her name is Maya, and she is in charge of our teen council program. She and Tracy McLaren have been working hand in hand this year. And now Tracy's stepping down and stepping into a different role at Dove, and Maya Battisti is taking over. But they're having to look at starting this year anyway with our Vashon Teen Council remotely and on Zoom and how to do that effectively and what does that even look like. So it's definitely been a challenge and a scramble, I know, for a lot of people to figure out how to do prevention programs, among other things, you know, virtually now.
And that's got to be, you know, repetitive, and it's got to be hear it over and over and over to really get its efficacy of those programs. So, well, you know, my hat's off to them, Tracy and Maya, to keep those programs going.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, another show would be a great talk to them. Hey, we're racking up ideas here.
When we did the first series of the show, we had the teen council.
Yeah. And it's a brand new group. And so it's exciting. It's a really robust, the program has grown immensely.
Oh,
and
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They
are thriving.
Such dedicated students.
Oh my God, I know.
The time they put in and the the effort and what they give back to the community. My niece was one of the original ones.
That's right. I remember that.
She still
with
uses
my daughter.
Those skills. Oh, that's right. Your daughter
for
was
sure.
in it. For sure. That's right.
You know, it's so funny because I have a daughter who's going into her junior year, and her older sister is a college student. She's down in Oregon. And sometimes my 15-year-old will ask me something and I'll say, I don't know, go ask your big sister, actually, because she knows right. more about that stuff than I do.
That's true.
But they're really so knowledgeable and so dedicated and passionate. But yeah, even just to talk about our youth advocacy in general, it'd be great to have Maya on some one of these days.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, teens get actually, they get, Maya was saying recently, you know, they get some education on, certainly nowadays on consent mm-hmm. and which is awesome. And they get some education and knowledge on what an unhealthy relationship is. But one thing she was saying that she's observing that's lacking is teens getting an education on what a healthy relationship looks like. And so we've all been kind of like, pondering that. And I feel like that's true for a lot of adults. You know, mm-hmm. it's sort of like
absolutely.
We grow up in a family and whatever is mirrored to us from our own parents yep. or the adults around us, that's what we at first
think
is normal.
The world's like that.
Yeah. And then the job as we become adults is to navigate that terrain for ourselves mm-hmm. and fumble along and make mistakes. And, you know, I was, and be the recipient of others' mistakes, you know, and I was talking with someone recently about a painful breakup that they recently endured. And, you know, she was essentially saying, like, is it okay to hope that, to hope in love, to trust mm-hmm. in love again and trust myself? And I was like, of course, please do. Because every time we're in a relationship, we have this opportunity to know ourselves better. And my husband calls it spiraling closer. You know, so we're just, it's not like this linear trajectory that we can like fall off of. It's every relationship we learn more about ourselves mm-hmm. and we can grow in depth and expand, and we spiral closer to something that's the best fit, you know?
Sure.
So anyway, something to think about.
Well, before the show, I think you had put out a question to the community.
Yeah.
Of what they thought a healthy relationship, right?
Yeah. It was really cool to get all the responses back that I did. So essentially, what we're trying to do with this show, if I'm correct in saying, is to put out the theme of the show mm-hmm. before we record it with you, and then open it up to the community to get back to us.
I think
on
it's a great
it
idea.
Is. Yeah, because then we're hearing from
and
everybody.
It's anonymous. I mean, of course, mm-hmm. nobody's going to have any names, but if you have a question, somebody else has that same question.
Totally.
And that person may have not even thought of it till they heard the discussion on this show. So I think, you know, what do they say? No stupid questions. And that's true in this subject. Absolutely.
That's so true.
Believe me, I made some stupid questions over my life, but these are legitimate concerns. And we want to, talk back to you mm-hmm. in a way that, you know, you can hear it and don't have to, you know, hide or meet somebody at Thriftway or, you know, do stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. And yeah, I mean, even if it's, in this sense, what we did was a little bit of a survey where we weren't even necessarily, well, we were posing a question, but mm-hmm. in essence, the question that went out from the survey was, in your experience and through your own observations, what are your thoughts on, what are your reflections, your observations on, your conclusions on healthy relationships, and the same question for unhealthy.
Right.
And it was amazing. You know, everyone that responded, there were some themes that were highlighted that popped up around, in a relationship, it's healthy to have a sense of self. Know thyself came up a lot.
I read that the survey answers myself, and I actually put that down on my notes is the thread that went through. It was trusting yourself.
Yeah.
Trust your gut instinct.
Right.
A lot of people said that.
Totally.
And I think I think that's pretty easy to do, is to kind of override, especially early on when you think this is a great person mm-hmm. and you kind of, you know, put that gut feeling in the corner.
Well, you can, in some ways, it's easy enough to lose yourself, you know, in a relationship, because the sense of I-ness, in yoga, we call that the ahankar, or like the sense of your own knowing of your own soul, but your sense of I-ness is in some ways can be, you know, so the danger is it can be replaced exclusively by this sense of we-ness.
Right.
And when you're in a relationship, there is, of course, a sense of we-ness, mm-hmm. but that can't be the only thing
sure.
that exists, right? You still have to maintain your sense of I so that you are able to trust yourself. So in a healthy relationship, you're wanting to be able to still hear your own voice enough to trust it. If your voice is drowned out by your partner's voice or self-doubt, for example, mm-hmm. then you're not going to be able to show up for yourself. So one person, and I got responses from men, from women, from people who identify as gay, as straight, from people who are older than me and younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really cool just to see the reflections from old to young,
yeah,
from, you know, everybody.
Really a variety.
Yeah. But another thing that came up too is that when you know yourself in a healthy relationship, you're going to better be able to articulate and identify boundaries
mm-hmm.
and be able to show up for someone else in respecting those boundaries and to be able to talk about the uncomfortable things and the bumpy spots,
sure.
navigating them together in a way that's moving towards solution and resolution as opposed to moving into a stubborn place of
right.
I'm right and you're wrong.
That was very evident. Well, I guess the most common thing, maybe even before that, is just talking.
Yeah.
And that was so simple, but so many of them brought it up. It's like, just talk.
Totally. That was another big piece that you caught too, right?
I
wrote it down in my notes when I was reading back through the transcript.
Yeah.
So I compiled everybody's responses in a document, and then I sent this document to you and to my other colleagues and left it anonymous, no names and no identifying partners' names or anything. And what that theme of communication popped out again and again and again. So know yourself, trust yourself, respect and establish both good boundaries, and then communication, like in
right.
so many different forms
right.
that in an unhealthy relationship, there's going to be blocks and barriers. And I think that that doesn't define an unhealthy relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes it can be hard to talk about the hard stuff.
Right.
But ideally, if you're willing to be vulnerable and open and trust that the other person can hold space for talking through the hard stuff, and that communication will carry you forever. You know,
right.
it's an amazing boat that will take
yeah.
you to the edge of the universe, really, because communication is everything and people communicate differently. So it's like learning your partner's communication style.
Right.
And sometimes there might just be, if it's an unhealthy or toxic relationship, that doorway just isn't open, and that can be a red flag that maybe this isn't the right fit for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's when you got to trust yourself again.
Yeah.
That it's not me making all these problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, even though I'm getting blamed, you've got to be able to trust yourself and say that now I have worth
mm-hmm.
and I'm not stupid. And so this is my I is becoming a we. And we'll say mm-hmm. his eye is staying an eye.
Right.
You know?
Right. Ideally, you're moving together in the same direction.
Yeah.
I like to think of a healthy relationship as it's like you're running a marathon and you're in your own lane and you're running and you look over and in the lane a couple over or maybe right next to you, there's someone else who's running and you're like, oh, hey, how's it going? And you're running at the same pace.
Yeah.
But you're not running in the same lane. You're still in your own lanes, you know, and you're just running together.
Yeah.
And maybe that running person is wearing different running shoes or a different running outfit, or they're
sure.
representing a different country. So it's not like you're the same person. You're your own person in your own lane running your own race, but you have someone who's doing that alongside you, and that can feel incredibly supportive.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. And, you know, the shame and blame thing that you just mentioned too, and classic red flags of a toxic or unhealthy relationship is when, you know, what came up in as one theme that really stuck with me is someone was saying, you have to be able to own your own stuff. And I personally have realized that too. You know, I'm 45 and been in, you know, many relationships and been in my current relationship for over a decade. And just know, and I think as we mature too into adults, but certainly young adults have this capacity too. I've seen it with my own observation,
mm-hmm.
but to be able to just own your stuff and not put your stuff on someone else, you
mm-hmm.
know, your partner or anyone, That's huge. That's a huge component for a healthy relationship.
Yeah.
And one person remarked in the response that there really isn't place for criticism in a relationship. That is a huge red flag if there's constant criticism.
Right.
That there should be a way to have healthy, constructive criticism that feels good. And that another person mentioned, and I loved this as well, that sort of an earmark of a healthy relationship is that it gives you energy. So one way to explore whether the relationship is healthy or unhealthy is, does it give you energy?
Right.
Or does it drain your energy?
Does it drain you?
Pretty simple, you know?
Yeah.
If you're feeling drained.
Exhausted.
Another
day of walking on eggshells or always defending yourself or being, well, it's easy to do now. I was going to say being sheltered from your friends and family, you know, being barred from seeing them. Well, kind of the mandate now. But those are all things that are exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and there's independence and there's codependence and there's interdependence. And I think that when you have two people that are doing the exact same thing, there's going to be a certain kind of flow. But some kinds of relationship orientations, for example, like a codependent one, it's not a very strong foundation. So even if both people in the relationship have that codependency, it's not a solid foundation to an enduring relationship. And that same can be true of an independent one where both people are very independent. For example, if that couple decides that they want to adopt a child or birth a child and share that child, or say an aging parent or a sick relative moves in, that independence needs to become, it needs to transform into perhaps more of an interdependence in that case. So there has to be space in the relationship to grow together and to shift depending on the situation. And the interdependence, it can be a healthy way to build a strong foundation and allow for that.
Right.
Whereas there's you and there's me and there's we, and all of those things are equally important.
Yes. And I, you know, I would imagine in a healthy relationship that that equation shifts over time.
Like sure.
Someone's a little bit more dominant and taking care of stuff, and then that shifts over time, or, you know, but it's a shared responsibility, but it's not always equal. It's like, well, I'm in school now, and now you got to do a lot of stuff. Well, now I'm out of school and you want to go back. I'm just making up scenarios, but I think that's okay, that the burden is shared, but it fluctuates.
Well, yeah. And that's making me think about something that didn't necessarily come from the survey we put out, but I definitely think what you're touching on is so true, that what's coming up for me as you're saying that is that the relationship needs to be able to morph and grow and evolve. So you're always changing as you do individually, right? You're growing, you're learning, and you're falling off the horse, you're getting back on. And then, so you're doing that individually, but if you can do that together, then yeah, things are going to shift. And things are definitely, like, you know, I have a 20-year-old, a 15-year-old, and we have a toddler in our family. So things have definitely shifted around in the past year and a half. And it's been beautiful to be able to do that with my partner and be hand in hand with him and navigate, you know, how that looks. It's, our relationship is so different than it was 10 years ago.
I bet.
Yeah. So being able to weather that, all of those changes. But yeah, there's so much, you know, and I think, you know, one could spend a lifetime studying relationships and how they are optimal and healthy. And there are people that do. There are many books that are written about it and many people that dedicate their lives to it. But I just found it fascinating in doing the survey and seeing what wisdom the everyday person has, not authors or teachers counselors, but just we all have that innate sense of what feels good and safe and healthy.
And, you know, one of the things that stood out for me in the survey was when you are discussing a problem, don't expect or don't demand a perfect solution.
Mm-hmm.
It just probably doesn't exist, but maybe minor adjustments on either side make a solution, maybe imperfect, but equitable.
You know what else I'm remembering while you're saying that is there was someone who said something about giving it time, like that the solution doesn't need to happen right away. So if there's heated energy, you don't need to find a solution in that moment that you can take space, but this person added, but not too much space because, you know, you've got to return to it.
Yep.
Yeah. You can't just leave it and
it festers.
Yeah, exactly. You have to address it or at least let the person know, hey, I'm not ready to dive back into that.
Yeah.
But I want you to know, I know that it's important to you and we can come back to it. Sometimes it can be hard because we're like, oh, if we come back to it, we're going to start fighting again, right? But I think that's part of it. It's just sometimes knowing, okay, the other person does know it's still important to me. They're not just stonewalling me, you know?
Right.
So yeah, that was really, I feel like I learned a lot from everybody that responded. I'm so grateful.
It was very insightful what the folks gave us. So we're kind of running out of time here, but how would you kind of sum up, like, someone, I don't know, maybe this is not the right exercise, but a checklist to say, do I need to get this relationship checked out? Is this unhealthy? Do I need to maybe take that next step and call somebody? And that doesn't mean a cascade of events after that. It might just be a 10-minute phone call. Or it might be a call that points you to something else.
There was someone who, when I sent out the survey, responded right away, immediately, even though it was like 10 o'clock at night when I sent out the first round. And she's someone who I deeply respect. But as in essence, she basically said that you need to feel safe in your relationship. And I'm not talking domestic violence safe. I'm not talking like safe. I mean, of course, that's obvious. You have to feel physically safe. But there are ways that people can feel even emotionally unsafe in a relationship. Like they're afraid to bring up that one topic or they're afraid to talk to their person under XYZ condition. And when you're in truly a healthy relationship, there's a sense of relaxed state of being, the sense of ease that you're not afraid to talk about anything. You had mentioned earlier walking on eggshells, right? That you're not walking on eggshells. And I think in some sense, you know, when you have a normal relationship, say your partner has had a long day and perhaps they're a little irritable or stressed or they're hungry, they're hangry, and maybe it's not the best time to bring up certain things. That's not what I mean. You know, it's sort of like that sense of dread. If you have a sense of dread, that's even just an undercurrent of it, where you just feel emotionally not solid with your partner, not safe, it's a great time to reach out because it could just be a gut feeling. It could also be something that is your own stuff that you're working on, like past relationship trauma that's being triggered in the current relationship. And so that's really great to excavate and say like, huh, is this mine? You know, or is this something we can work on together?
Sure.
But ideally, even if someone does have past relationship trauma or jitters, and they have some triggers, ideally in a healthy environment within a relationship, you're able to discuss those with your partner and say, "Hey, look, I get triggered whenever this comes up, and I know that's mine to work on. I'm wondering if you can help me out by blah 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 X Y Z." So I would say that a good time to call is when you get that sense of like, I don't really feel safe on an emotional or vibrational level, energetically even. And it's so nice just to reach out and talk to someone, whether it's a Dove advocate or a trusted friend or family member or a mental health counselor, but just to be able to say, hey, you know, could you be my sounding board? Could you be a container for me?
You know, and sometimes it's just when you articulate it aloud and you hear your own words, then you kind of get it.
Totally.
When it's bouncing around in your head, kind of gets on a treadmill and it doesn't go anywhere.
For sure. I mean, a lot of what we do at Dove as advocates is just hold space, validate, and witness. And we just hold that space for someone to really articulate their own solution. You know, usually people, for the most part, have that within them.
Yeah.
And so that's the beautiful part of the work that we do and why I love it so much. But yeah, I would say too, another thought is that, you know, if someone comes with relationship struggles and they're talking to us about it, we're not just going to immediately jump to a suggestion of, well, have you tried couples counseling? We might be curious to ask that, but that's not necessarily a solution. And here's why, because before you can have healthy relationship with other, you need to be able to have healthy relationship with self. And so oftentimes it's more beneficial for two people in a relationship that's struggling to do their own work individually with a therapist, not the same therapist, ideally,
sure.
different one. Yeah. So they have their own special person and the therapist doesn't have to do the hard work of keeping things separate.
Oh. And
then maybe they have a time later on or a different therapist altogether to do that couple's work. But we always emphasize that it's super important because when you're doing your own work, it's super important you're going to see what comes up for you that may shine a light on a boundary that you have or a trigger that you have or a wound that still needs tending or to be held mm-hmm. gently. So there's a lot of great work we can do individually that will strengthen the coupleship ideally or shine a light on where the cracks are
yeah,
in the boat that may or may not be able to be repaired.
Right. And maybe this is, it's not, it's, yeah, like you said, not repairable.
Sometimes, you
know,
yeah.
We need to go our separate ways.
Sometimes.
Not a bad guy here. This didn't work.
Yep. And we are spiraling closer to a relationship or an orientation around self, either one or both, and that is more ideal for our own growth and evolution, as one of my yoga teachers say, to bring us into the next best and highest evolution of ourselves, right? So every relationship, whether it's just a friendship or a work relationship or a familial relationship or a romantic partnership, should ideally help us on that path
mm-hmm.
to bring us into the next best and highest evolution of ourselves in all ways, at all times, right? And I know that's like shooting the
no
bar
pressure.
Set really high.
No,
but it's like, but really, someone else isn't responsible for that work. We're responsible mm-hmm. for our own work, right? It's not like someone else is going to make that happen for us. Everyone else is just a reflection of us doing that work for ourselves. And sometimes a reflection is like, whoa, okay, gotta, you know, reorientate here. And maybe all relationships, they aren't intended to last the gamut, the lifetime. And that's okay too.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's rare. I mean, you read about it in the paper, you know, childhood, sweetheart, you know, they die together at age 90. But that's why it's in the paper, because it's so rare.
Right. Exactly.
And people evolve.
Yeah. Yeah. People change.
Yeah.
And it's okay to let go of something that, you know, the shoe doesn't fit in the same way. It's
yes.
okay. It's okay. So yeah, so we welcome that at our agency and we welcome your feedback about this recording.
Absolutely.
Yep. And in the future, when we have themes and topics, the plan is to throw it out there in a survey of sorts or just on social media. And we welcome questions and comments and feedback. And that provides a great template on which to build this interview.
Well, I think you put it eloquently earlier to say, we don't want to tell the community what they need. Community, tell us. So when you see that on social media, please ask if you think a friend might benefit from it, you know, make them aware of it. Because we want to answer these. And that's what this medium is for.
Exactly.
Well, thank you, Nin. This has been very educational. And yeah, great stuff.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'm
yes.
so glad we're doing Dove
Me
Speaks
too.
Again. Woohoo!
And real quick, if someone wants to get in touch, it's vashondoveproject.org.
That's right. That's our website. Email is real simple, info@vashondoveproject.org. So info@ will get us to get you to the advocacy line. And then the number to call is 206-462-0911. I say 462 because the Vashon is often 463, but it's 206-462-0911, and that's our main advocacy line. And right now, we're building up the office to be able to see people there with the big plexiglass
oh,
and whatnot.
Very good.
Very cool.
Yeah.
But until we feel absolutely 1,000% sure that we can safely see people in the office, we're just working remotely.
Okay.
So advocates are checking the phones and answering the phones and the email Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., those 5 days. So there's a good chance you're going to be able to reach one of us, and if
Excellent.
Not, we'll get right back to you.
Okay. Well, thank you again, then.
Thank you so much, Chris.